So first of all, big yashar koach to Josh Joseph for sponsoring the breakfast this morning. It should be a schus for him, his whole mishpacha, the whole kila. Gans klais, it should be a good chaydesh, and a good yar, and a good everything. So the past few shiurim, the past couple shiurim in Sefer Shoftim, has been sort of like introducing us to the topic, to the next story in Sefer Shoftim, which is the story of Devorah. The only one that we have in Sefer Shoftim for sure, of the Jewish people being led by Anisha, Devorah HaNeviah. So as a hachana to that, a little bit earlier on in the summer, we had a shiur talking about the halachic, in halacha and in pimius, about Anisha being in a position of leadership. We spoke about that. Now last week we started getting more tzumzach, to get to the sugi of Miriam, of Devorah HaNeviah. We spoke about the sugi of an Isha when it comes to Talmud Torah. So we talked about that, our Pnimi, our Makif, and so on. So now we're going to continue with that and move closer into the sugi of Devorah herself. Now, you don't have to know what we spoke about last week and all the details, but what we do certainly know, and it became a little bit more clear from last week, but even without that, it's well known, that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and the inyan of learning and of teaching Torah is certainly more associated with men than it is women. First of all, again, women are pata from Talmud Torah, right? And not only that, but we know that we didn't speak so much about this, but at the end we spoke about it a little bit, that the Gemara in Saita, it's machlagis in the Gemara, but at least the way we paskin to a certain degree is that adrabba, there's a certain hesitation of teaching a woman Torah and giving her sort of free reins in Talmud Torah. The Gemara says strong language that it's kilum lam the tiflus, that she doesn't, there's a concern that Anisha might not take the words of Torah as seriously as she should, and therefore it could become even detrimental. So there's always this hesitation. Now, specifically within Torah, what chelik of Torah in particular are we most cautious? Are we most hesitant, or are we most sort of indicating a disconnection between an Isha and this particular chelek? It's without a question, it's Torah Shebal Peh, right? Torah Shebal Sef and Torah Shebal Peh. Within Torah, again, an Isha is part of from all of Talmud Torah, but within Torah itself, the chelek of Torah, where not only is she Patrin, but there's even a hesitation of allowing her into that to learn with free range and so on. Thank you. Again, indicating that there's a little bit of a disconnect, so to speak, it would seem, between Isha and Torah, specifically with Torah Shebal Peh. Now, you don't have this in front of you, but again, this is the Rambam at the end of the first parak in Hilchos Talmud Torah. So, which is recorded in Shulchan Aruch as well in Yoredei in Hilchos Talmud Torah. But the Rambam says again, you don't have this in front of you, but just listen. The Rambam says. Isha shalom de Torah yesh l'schar. That's what we spoke about last week. The Isha that learns Torah does get schar. Alva'inika schar ish, but not the same level as a man. But neish shalayin stavis because she's not commanded, right? And v'kolo isadav she'ena mitzuvah alav ain scharay kisar t'schar hamitzuvah shasa. Right? And someone that's commanded gets more reward than someone that's not commanded. Okay. Then the Rambam continues. Alva pishli yesh l'schar. Even if a woman has, even though she has schar, tzivu chachamim, Chazal commanded us that you shouldn't again. This gedarim about how to do this and so on, but a person shouldn't teach Torah to women. But again, he goes on because we're concerned and so on. They might be not taken so seriously, and then he says like this: Amr Chachamim, Chazal say, teaching Torah to women is kilu lim the tiflis, as if you're teaching frivolousness. It's not going to be taken seriously. Says the Rambam. Now that so far was the Rambam basically paraphrasing and recording Gemaras. Now the Rambam says his own chiddush, and it's not really—it's really questionable where the makar of this is. But as they say, the Rambam, when do we say this? That what? That the Nisha should be sort of held back from Talmud Torah, and it's really not her inyan. But Torah Shebal Peh. That's the Torah Shebal Peh. Alva Torah Shebichsav. When it comes to Torah Shebichsav, lo yom ledois lechatchil. It's still not. She's not obligated to learn it certainly, and even also shouldn't be something that's taught lechatchil. But v'mlamda ein lad getiflus. But it's not the concern is not as great as Torah Shebichsav as Torah Shebal Peh. Akitzer again, without going into details in the pratim of halacha, that's not for now. But the point is, what do you see from the Rambam? You see from the Rambam that bechlal the din of Talmud Torah is removed from women, and beprati prati specifically is Torah Shebal Peh. Fine. What we're going to learn now for the next mamish, just for the next 15 minutes, is I got to be Michael. At 11 o'clock, I have to run out. We don't have enough time to learn the answer, but at least we'll learn the kasha. So we're going to learn a kasha. What's a kasha? So if you take a look at the first marmokin you have, we're going to learn some Rav Tzadik. So Rav Tzadik is in Sefer Sisei Laila, page 127. So Rav Tzadik is talking about, it's interesting, over there, this is not the main point in that place in Sisei Laila. He says it like Derech Agav, but he says like this. But it's a big principle in this farm. Ki yidua, it's known, the Tarsh v'chsav v'tarsh bal peh. When we compare Tarsh v'chsav and Tarsh bal peh, says Rav Tzadik, heim chachmi ila v'tata. Very often in the Svarim, you'll find this description. Tarsh v'chsav is referred to the higher chachma, and Tarsh bal peh is lower chachma. Shebichsav, why is that? It's obvious. Tarshebichsav meis Hashem min Hashemayim. It's from Hashem. It's from Hashemayim. So it's called Chachmila, the higher wisdom. V'zemanes chelke shel Moshe. That's Moshe ben Yischelek, obviously. Shebav aridu la'aretz, that he went up to Shemayim, bring Tarshebichsav down to the world. V'hu nikra ish Elokim. And says Rav Tzadik, Tarshebichsav, which is associated with Moshe Rabbeinu, bringing the Torah from heaven, Moshe Rabbeinu, because of this, is called ish Elokim, the man of Hashem. Baila de Matrinisa, the representing the chasen, so to speak. Kiyidua. In other words, Tarsh v'chsav is associated with the bechin of a zohar. Ushloim ha-melech, paralleling Moshe Rabbeinu in chachmi ilah, who is the parallel to Moshe in chachmi tatan lora wisdom? So Ushloim ha-melech, midas ha-malchus, the quality of malchus, which is always associated with Tarsh bal peh. It says in the Zohar Kaddish, malchus peh, Tarsh bal peh krinama, that the mid of malchus, which means practically how to function. You know, Vahila Taita Fais Beninecha doesn't exactly, that's not, you can't, the kingdom of Avodas Hashem is not functional when you just have Vahila Taita Fais Beninecha. I don't know what that means. But now that you have Tarash Baal Peh and you know what Tefillin are, oh, now you have a functional Malchus. So Malchus is associated with Tarash Baal Peh. Says Rav Tzadik and Shlomo Melech, you know, the Chachma Mikol Adam, in terms of what Chachma? In terms of Chachma of Tarash Baal Peh, Sitra de Nukva. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu Tarsh Bechsav is the Zachar, Tarsh Baal Peh is associated with the Nekeva. Upeh, Tarsh Baal Peh, Kreenama. The Gemara says that Asar Kavan Sicha, 10 measurements of speech came to the world, 9 went to women. Speech is associated with Tarsh Baal Peh. It's a mistake. Alkein Himshel Shlomo Melech Chachmas Elisha. That's why throughout his writings in Shlomo Melech, Kehelis and Mishlei and so on, Chachmas HaTorah is always, the parable for that is always compared to an Isha. So in all the writings of Shlomo HaMelech, the woman that, you know, the wife, Yeshus Chai, all these in Yanim, all these statements in Shlomo HaMelech's writings in the Sifri Kaidish, it's a reference, it's a mashal to Torah, to Torah Shebaal Peh. It's a klal. Again, this is just one example of many places in this Sifri Kaidish. So what do you see? Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebichsav is associated with the Zohar, Moshe is the Isha Lekim, whereas Torah Shebaal Peh is compared to the Nekeva. I don't understand. Of all chalakim of Torah, the one chalak that Anish is most removed from is Tarash Baal Peh. And yet, Tarash Baal Peh is associated with Nekeva. Doesn't make any sense. To starken the question even more, in the story of Devira, so we didn't go through the pratim of the story yet, but who's the bad guy? The good guy is Devira, right? So who's the bad guy? The bad guy is Sisera. So Sisera, really, it was a king. Sisera was a general being sent by the king to make problems. But Sisera, he's the bad guy. Now, in the pratim of the story, again, Devira HaNevi'a leads the Jewish people, gathers Kal Yisrael and so on to fight against Sisera, and Sisera is destroyed. Now, in the Pasuk, after the war is over and everything is good, Baruch Hashem, then we have Shiras HaDevira, the Song of Devira. In the Song of Devira, there's a lot of aspects of the war that she references that maybe the Pasuk earlier in talking about the Melchama didn't highlight, but you see it in the Song of Devar. In Shiras HaDevar, she talks about Nachal Kishon. She talks about, like, sort of thanking this river called Kishon and its help in the war. And she also talks about Kechavim, the stars in heaven helping out in the war. Now, again, in the story of the Melchal, we don't find anything like it. What's going on over here? So there's a Gemara Psachim. So Marmukh number 2 is a Gemara Psachim. Kufi Chesim based. The Gemara is talking about by Kriyas Yamsuf. The Gemara says like this, V'omru, Kal Yisrael, even after Kriyas Yamsuf, they had the following concern. They said, K'shem sh'anu oylem mitzad echad. So they were saved. Kal Yisrael, they think to themselves, just like we got out of the Yam on one side, so kach mitzriyim oylem mitzad echad. Maybe the mitzriyim are still alive and they're somewhere else. You know, and maybe the danger is not finished yet. So Amalai Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem wanted to comfort Klal Yisrael. So Hashem says, Lasar Shel Yam, to the Malach in charge of the Yamsuf, Polite Eisen Le'abasha, spit out the Mitzrayim to the dry land, that Klal Yisrael should be able to see that there's nothing to be concerned about. Amalai Fan of Rabbanu Shel Olam, so the Malach responds, and he says, Klom Yesh Evet Shel Eisen Le'Rabi Matana, the Chayz V'Noit L'Menu, such a thing as a servant that the master gives the servant a present, and then the master asks for it back. You gave me Matana, the Mitzrayim. You're now asking for it back? It's not so. So Amar Lai, so Hashem said, Etin lecha echad u'mechsa shavem. We'll do ribbis. I'll pay you back 1.5 times. 1.5 times. If you spit out the Mitzrayim, I'll give you back 1.5 times. Amar Lai Rabbeinu Shalom, so the Malach says to Hashem, it's a good deal, but yesh evit sheteveyes rabbi. So what's going to be? When the time comes to pay it back, I'm going to come and ask for it. It's not nice. How do I need to have someone else that's going to sort of guarantee that you're going to give it to me, because I don't. It's not nice for me to ask. So Amar Loi, so the Rabbanu Shem says, Nachal Kishain Yehelei Arif. This river of Kishain that we only find by the story of Devira, that's going to be the guarantor. So okay, so the Gemara says, So Miat Polat Oisle Yaboshas, the Yamsa spits out the Mitzrayim, Uba Yisrael Veroi, some Kal Yisrael sees them, Shenemar V'ya Yisrael Os Mitzrayim, Mesos V'asayam, and Klal Yisrael sings Shirin's Gevalda Gezach. My Echadu Mechsa Shabam. So now the Gemara says, what was this 1.5 times? What's the story? So he says, it says the Gemara like this. Diva Parik said, by Parik it says how many chariots and so on. Shesh Meis Rechav Bachor. He had 600 chariots, right? That was the army of Parik over there. Shesh Meis Rechav Bachor. The Ilu B'Sisra, when it comes to Sisra, it says in Pasuk, Teisha Meis Rechav Barzel. He had 900, right, which is 1.5 times the amount of Pare, he had 900 iron chariots. So what's the Maisa? Says the Gemara, Kiyasa Sisra, when Sisra came to attack, Asa Elayu b'dekari de Parzla, he came with these iron chariots. Hoitzer Kadosh Baruch Aleim Kaichavim, Mimisiloisan. The Rabbanu Shalom took the heat of the stars and sort of somehow channeled it to the chariots of Sisra, as Devar references in her story, in her song, that the Kechavim were fighting for them. So, once the heat of these stars descended on the chariots, so they became heated up. So, the horses, whatever, the people, they went into this river, Nachal Kishon, to sort of cool it down. So now Hashem says to Nachal Kishon, Lech v'hashlem arvoinech, go pay up, be the guarantor, another swallow up these 900 chariots, and send it to the Yamsuf. So, miyad, that's what happened. So God from Nachal Kishon swallows up these chariots, v'shlichim liyam, and sends it to the Yamsuf. Shenemar, Nachal Kishon garfam Nachal Kedumim. That's in the story, in the Soaring of Devirah, she describes Nachal Kishon as Nachal Kedumim, an ancient river. It was an ancient river, old river. Why is this an ancient river? My Nachal Kedumim. So says the Gemara, Nachal Shanasa Orev Mikedem. It's referring to Nachal Kishon because it had an old deal. There's an old relationship going on over here, paying back an old debt. That's why it's called Nachal Kedumim. Ba'isa Shoah, at that moment, Paschu Dogim Shal Yam, the fish of the Yamsuf opened up and they said, Ve'emes Hashem La'ilam. That's the Gemara Psach. Okay. What's this Indian over here paying back the Yamsuf 1.5 times more, chariots of Barzel? Bechlal, you see, chariots of Barzel is also Vaita, the Nina of Nekeva. Barzel's Rosh Hateva's Bilha, Rachel, Zilpaleya. It's brought down the storm. So Barzel, so it's the Nina of Nekeva going on over here. So what's so take a look at Marmok number 3. This is just to ask the Kasha. We're not going to answer anything today. But in Rasisi Lila, again, page 94, it's a different piece. So things like this. Derabbi Kiva, we know again, who's the master of Tarshish B'Chasav? Who's the embodiment of Tarshish B'Chasav? That was Moshe. Now, it's interesting. When it comes to Tarshish Baal Peh, there are certainly many figures. And then the piece before that we saw, he connected with Shlomo HaMelech. And that's true. Shlomo HaMelech is Chacham Mikol Adam. But again, to say that Shlomo HaMelech is the greatest of Tarshish Baal Peh in its purest form, probably not, because Shlomo HaMelech is still in the Tekufa of prophecy. And his Svarim are still Tanakh. So even though, in terms of the beginnings of Tarshish Baal Peh, maybe Shlomo HaMelech, you know, at that time, is the beginning of Tarshish Baal Peh, but if you're zooming out in Jewish history, the Ikar Tekuf of Tarshish Baal Peh is post Churban Beis HaMikdash. And so, in the Ikar Tekuf of Tarshish Baal Peh, the champion of Tarshish Baal Peh, the one that embodies Tarshish Baal Peh, is without a doubt, is certainly Rabbi Akiva. Then the Gemara says in Megillah, Kula lived Rabbi Akiva. All halacha, all Mishnayos, the Sefta, it's all coming from Rabbi Akiva ultimately. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is Torah Bechsav, in truth, Rabbi Akiva is Torah Shebal Peh. So he says like this: Rabbi Akiva, who you say Torah Shebal Peh, can you do it? No, Rabbi Akiva is the pillar of Torah Shebal Peh. Now again, it's not a coincidence that Rabbi Akiva is the one that said that Kol Hashirim Kodesh, all songs are holy, but Shir Hashim is Kodesh Kedoshim, right? So Rabbi Akiva had a very strong connection with Shlomo HaMelech, because they're both coming from that world of Torah Shebal Peh, and specifically of Nekevos. That's it. His whole, where Rabbi Akiva come, where Rabbi Akiva come from is because of his wife Rachel, right? The whole thing, he said, Shaliv Shalachem Shalahi, right? We don't have such a statement like that in another Chazal, nor do we have such description of how we don't have this. What was the name of Rabbi Yudanasi's wife? Anyone know? No idea, right? How did he meet? Who was the Shadchan? No idea. Rabbi Akiva, we know these pratim, right? Rabbi Akiva is the Indian of the Keva, which is Torah Shebal Peh, as we saw, is very strong by Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva is Torah Shebal Peh. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva is maybe one of Shel Sisra. Rabbi Akiva was a child of converts. Where did these Gerim come from? So the Gemara says they were descendants of Sisra. Oh, so one second. So you have Sisra already now has within him, somehow in Golis over there, is the soul of Rabbi Akiva. So it says Rav Tzadik already, that'll tell you all that you need to know. That means that Sisra is now associated with Torah Shebal Peh. And Torah Shebal Peh, and the pnimius of what's going on in this story of Sisra and Devorah and so on, is the rescuing of Torah Shebal Peh. It's the rescuing of Nishmas Rabbi Akiva. Like all good things, first it starts in a gullus with a klipa, and you break through the klipa, and then you reveal what was always contained within there in a holy way. That's the story of what's going on over here. So he says, "Umestama hayikayach zebe Sisra." If Rabbi Akiva comes from Sisra, then Sisra Tzadik Mestama, that means that in the time of Sisra, that kayach was contained within Sisra. That's where his the strength of Sisra and the godless of Sisra and his ability to give tzaris to Klal Yisrael was because of some nitzitz of kedusha that was within him. Right? What was the spark of kedusha in Sisra? A very big spark called Rabbi Akiva, the Torah Shebal Peh. She'az hayakol chachm nechachm Yisrael etzol Yisrael Rosha. All the wisdom of Klal Yisrael, of Torah Shebal Peh, again, this is holding by the times of Nevuah, so you're still b'derech klal in the era of Torah Shebechsav, but Torah Shebal Peh, which is eventually going to flourish later on after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, is now in Golis in Sisra. The Isha Haisa Shefetes. And in Isha, this is the dafk at that time, this is the only time that we have in the Shaiftim and so on, that an Isha is the Shaifetes. What does it mean to be a Shaifetes? It means that she's guiding Klal Yisrael in learning, and halacha, and Torah Shebal Peh. She's the Pesekis. Rem is the Torah Shebal Peh. Shehi Mida HaMekabelis. And again, and says Rav Tzadik, like we said before in the first Mar Malkim, Torah Shebal Peh is associated with an Isha. Just like an Isha is Makabel from the Zohar, so too Torah Shebal Peh, what material does Torah Shebal Peh use in order to figure out Hilchus Tefillin? It has to be, it's not making it up on its own, it's coming from the material of Torah Shebichsav. That's the Isha's relationship with the Zohar. Da'az hay haschalas hisgalas yisai Torah Shebal Peh b'aylam hazeh. At this time of Sisra, and the whole Muhammad with Devorah and so on, this is the beginning of the emergence of the foundation of Torah Shebal Peh, which is Nishmas Rabbi Akiva, b'levush av deklipa. At this time it was covered over with a very thick klipa, gerua, a very low klipa, the Sisra. Hamakifosa, which is covering it over. Now that we have that background, says Ritzalik, now we can understand the ending of the 600 chariots of Parai versus the 900 chariots of Sisra, of Barzel, and I said as the Nekeva, the Old Imahis. Vizetam tes meis rechav shloi. This is the ending of the 900 chariots of Sisra. Hainu. What does that mean? The Mitzrayim ha'ibagolus hadas. Ritzalik says like this. In Mitzrayim, there was also a golus of Torah. But the difference is that in Mitzrayim, what was the primary Torah and the nitzitz that was in Mitzrayim? It's Torah Shebichsav. That's why to get on Mitzrayim is to lead to Har Sinai to receive what? Torah Shebichsav. Now, of course, in Torah Shebichsav is Torah Shebal Peh too, but the primary inyan and the aspect of Torah that has to be redeemed from Golis Mitzrayim was Torah Shebichsav. Darga de Moshe Rabbeinu. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he takes us out of Mitzrayim. Shu Yisai Torah Shebichsav. That's why the gezerah of Mitzrayim was to throw the babies, the zohar. Pari didn't have a problem with the nekevus. You understand, right? His attack was on the zoharim because his eating is anti-Torah Shebichsav, which is zohar. So Pari's etza is take all the boys and throw them into the ar. Why the ocean? Why the nilus and so on the water? The chayin ha'imishpatim. This was what was appropriate. Why? Because subconsciously, what Mitzrayim wants to do is to hide and to cover over this light of Torah Shebichsav. And the light of Torah Shebichsav, as we'll see, is associated with water. Now we know, again, he's putting in a lot of puzzle pieces over here, but something says we know that the generation of the Mabul, the Zohar Kodesh tells us, was the generation that the Rabbanu Shem really wanted to give Torah Shebichsav to. The Mabul was for Torah Shebichsav, the Dor HaFlaga in Bavel, right? When you think Torah Shebal Peh, what do you think of Talmud Bavli? It's Bavel. So Dor HaFlaga, in the place where the languages with Peh became all mixed up. So Dor HaMabul was supposed to be a generation to receive Torah Shebichsav. The Dor HaFlaga was a generation supposed to receive Torah Shebal Peh. Both of them messed it up. And whenever you mess it up, then that present then becomes its own punishment. So Torah Shebal Peh becomes corrupted and becomes the punishment in the Dor HaFlaga. But again, focusing on Torah Shebichsav, what happens to Torah Shebichsav when it becomes corrupted, when it becomes unreceivable in a healthy way? It becomes drowning waters. That's the Mabul. So the Mabul was spoken in Mayim El Torah, waters that come from above, just like Torah Shebichsav. So Torah Shebichsav, therefore, is compared. If they would receive Torah Shebichsav properly, it would have been beautiful waters that rain and flourish and all these things. But because of that, it became Mayim Hazadayim. It became destructive waters, the waters of the Mabul. So he says like this, again, Dor HaMabul HaYeruim LeKabel Torah, the generation of Mabul were supposed to receive the Torah, Torah Shebichsav, V'loy Zachu, V'yaviu Mabul Olam. They brought a Mabul to the world, the Torah Nim Shalomayim, Torah is compared to water. V'chein Ratzu Haim. And so this is what the Mitzriim are now trying to do again. They're trying to stop Torah Shebichsav from coming into the world in a healthy way. And intuitively, deep down, they know that when Torah Shebichsav is not received, when it's supposed to, what happens? It becomes a Mabul. So they're trying to do that with the Zecharim, with the males of Klal Yisrael. L'hapich adover, l'shlich l'mayim, to throw them into the water. U'bedover asher zadu, b'mida k'neged mida, because of this is what the Mitzrim are trying to do to Klal Yisrael, ba'aleim, this is what happens to them. So the Mitzrim are now drowned in the Yamsuf. So what's the inyan of the drowning of the Yamsuf? That's the inyan of what should have been the receiving of Torah, and specifically Torah Shebichsav, is now being nishapich, and now being turned over into destructive waters. So he says, Kiliyos heim loichasim li. So he says in a very deep opinion right now, since these mitzrim in particular, bashkacha pratis, right? You know, I can't think of a mitzrim name. I don't know. I was going to say like Mr. whatever, but like, I don't know Egyptian names. They're completely batel mevutel. So whatever it is, Ramses, Mr. Ramses, yeah, that's fine. So if this particular mitzri is bashkacha pratis, causing tzaras to a yid at that time, then vice the chayis, there's some, then even that mitzri has some spark, something of Torah Shebichsav that's in Golis in this guy, and that's how he has shlita over that yid. So these mitzrim have to be destroyed in the Mabul to release the spark of Torah Shebichsav that's contained within them to allow Klal Yisrael to emerge out of Mitzrayim to receive the Torah with Moshe Rabbeinu. And specifically Torah Shebichsav, Shehayi ben Nefashis the Yisrael, the Torah Shebichsav, which is really supposed to be by Yidden, was in Golis in the Mitzrayim, specifically in these Mitzrayim, and that's why Bashkacha Pradis, they're trying to drown Klal Yisrael, but Fakir, if an Habichu, they become drowned. Elisha Niflitu. So he says like this. Now what happens is, what the Gemara Pesachim say, they're drowned in the Yamsuf. Klal Yisrael is nervous, so Rabbanu Shel makes the Yamsuf spit them out. So in Chitzanias, they're being spit out. Why? Because Klal Yisrael is nervous. Hashem has to give them. Why can't Hashem just let them have a vision? The whole Kriyas Yamsuf was a Zekel Banvei. Why can't they just see the Mitzrayim in the ocean? What's the sin? They have to be spit out. So in Nigla, to comfort Klal Yisrael, there's no other way to comfort them. So it says Rav Tzadik, Sheniflu Duki Kvar Nitna Torah V'Nizgala Oira. The answer is there's nothing left to these Mitzrayim. They're a shell. There's nothing. The reason why they're in the Yamsuf is because them being in the Yamsuf and drowning and becoming, you know, dissolved in the Yam is releasing those sparks of Torah Shebichsav that is contained within them. Eiskepal, it's finished. It's done. There's no reason for them to remain in the Yamsuf, so the male, they get spit out. In order to explain that, in Chitzanis, Klal Yisrael was nervous. But the nervousness of Klal Yisrael was there in order to legitimize them being spit out. Why should they be spit out to begin with? The answer is because as an indication that all the sparks of Torah Shebichsav have been released. So he says like this, V'nishlam shaychis l'mayim. Therefore there's no... So who's left? Just the shell of the Egyptians. Mr. Ramses and his neighbors. And these are stam going. So there's nothing left. There's no reason for them to be in the Yamsuf anymore. So he says, V'nitin l'yam to us. But what's left? This is all Torah Shebichsav. But what still is gala, what still has to be released ultimately is Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh was not, even though its roots are obviously in Torah Shebichsav, but the primary goal of Torah Shebal Peh is later on, times of Sisra, right? By Sisra. So he says, V'nitin liyam, so what was given to the Yamsuf as a payment for these Mitzrayim, as a replacement for these Mitzrayim, is Chel Sisra, as the armies of Sisra, Sheneged Tarash Bal Peh, which corresponds to Tarash Bal Peh. The Adayin Lein is Bar Lagamri. And says Ratzadik, by the way, is sort of in parentheses, we'll see about this maybe, that even Tarash Bal Peh has not been fully developed yet. Ad Eis Kates, until Mashiach comes. Tarash B'Chsav Ein Loisiv. It's finished. Tarash B'Chsav is completely worked through. Tarash Bal Peh is not yet worked through yet. The fundamental principles, the roots of Tarash Bal Peh have been worked out. We have Rabbi Kiv, we have Shas, we have Paiskin, but the Prote, right? There's still more Svarim that have to be printed, you know, for Mashiach to come, so to speak, right? So Tarash Bal Peh is not fully developed yet until Mashiach comes. But this is what's going on over here. The Rabbanu Shalom is establishing, is releasing. The defeat of Sisra means the release of Tarash Bal Peh, the release of Nishmas Rabbi Kiva. But as we know, in the Gemara Menachos, right, the Gemara says in Rabbi Kiva, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Kiva and he didn't chap the shir, so he felt bad, right? Until Rabbi Kiva said, everything I'm saying is Aloch L'Moshe M'Sinai. And then he felt better. Meaning, whenever you're talking about Torah Shebal Peh, there's always a concern of it becoming disassociated from its roots, right? And at some point, you forget the fact that this is coming from heaven also, Torah Shebal Peh. So in order to establish the beginnings, the freedom of Torah Shebal Peh, the Rabbanu Shalom, which is the defeat of Sisra, but the Rabbanu Shalom had to make sure that it connects itself, it goes back to Yamsuf of Torah Shebichsav, that it shouldn't be disconnected, that Rabbi Kiva should be able to say, everything I'm telling you is Aloch L'Moshe M'Sinai. And so this is what's going on, that the 900 iron chariots of Sisra are being paid back to the Yamsuf. And the Yamsuf, which is Torah Shebichsav, is now being, the Torah Shebal Peh, which is Sisra, is now being anchored and rooted and sort of being deeply bound to Yamsuf, which is Torah Shebichsav. And he says specifically, this is why Sisra was defeated with a river. Why a river? If the Yamsuf, if a sea, right, or an ocean, whatever, a lake and so on, a steady set body of water represent Torah Shebichsav, why? This is dust. There's a certain amount of psukim. It is what it is. There's a certain amount of water in the sea. That's it. But what's a river? Flowing, nu, chedushim, it goes this way, it goes that way. So it's also Torah, but it's Torah Shebal Peh. That's why the Nachal, Kishon, represents Torah Shebal Peh. That's what swallowed up Sisra. Bo l'Nachal, they came to a Nachal. Shumei Me Gishamim, what is a Nachal? What's a stream? Either it's a gathering of rainwater, Hamaskadzim, Aymai Mai Noivim, or waters from the ground, but either way, it's moving, flowing waters of chedushim. Uboy Mechadish Bekol Yoim. The Kol Necholim Holchem El Hayam, but all rivers flow to the sea. All Torah Shebal Peh ultimately comes and has to be rooted and anchored in Torah Shebichsav. Shumaya Debeki Dekvi VeKaimi, which are the set established waters. V'Udugmas Torah Shebal Peh V'Torah Shebichsav. And that's the relationship over here. Now, why is it 900 versus 600? Why is it 1.5 times Torah Shebichsav? So something says like this. Ooh, it's late. V'Amru Chazal. Chazal say the Kol Yaka Rosa Einosh Rabbi Kiva. That the eyes of Rabbi Akiva saw all that is precious. That is Galla Yoisim el Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say, right? The Gemara says in Malchus, right? But Rabbi Akiva saw things that even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see. Hainu. The Asogas Tarash Bal Peh, Meruba Yoisir. That Tarash Bal Peh, to a certain degree, can see Tarash Bechsav plus. Right? It can see Tarash Bechsav plus. Alderach Nana Sarech Lagabe Anak, like a short person on top of a giant. Right, so the short person on top sees much farther than the tall person. Not because the short person is bigger than the tall person, but he's standing on the big person's shoulders. So Torah Shebal Peh can see much more details. Why? Not because it's greater than Torah Shebichsav, but because it's built on Torah Shebichsav. Shumase Gamkein HaTorah Shebichsav. Right, because it sees. You have Torah Shebichsav, and then you have on top of that Torah Shebal Peh. Now, if you were to compare the Hasag of Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebal Peh, Torah Shebal Peh would be half the amount of Torah Shebichsav. It's half the clarity of Torah Shebichsav. But Lamaisa Torah Shebal Peh is built on Torah Shebichsav. So Torah Shebal Peh is 1.5 Torah Shebichsav. Because it has Torah Shebichsav, and plus itself, which is half. So it's 1.5 times. So he says like this. V'hine mitzina b'kosov. It says in Pasuk, Uma b'kosha seich. Again, Vayta with an Isha. Achashverish est Esther Amalka. What do you want? And he says, Achatzi Amalchus. I'll give you half the kingdom. The b'kol toikif malasi Isha, the strength of an Isha, which is associated with Tarsh Balpeh, Devoira, and so on. Eina magia l'chatzi malas ish. It's half. Half of the malchus. It's half of what Torah Shebichsav. It's half of the stature of Torah Shebichsav. Do Moshe b'kula malchus. Torah Shebichsav is everything. Torah Shebal Peh, in Ruchnias, is only considered to be half the stature of Torah Shebichsav. V'zeh cheshmen da'al v'chetzi de sisra. This is 1.5 sisra over parai. Shu asog amula de Torah Shebal Peh. This is the asog of Torah Shebal Peh. Shemasik Torah Shebichsav gamkein. That it has the stat, it's built on the structure of Torah Shebichsav. So Torah Shebichsav is the 600 of Parai. And on top of that is half of Torah Shebichsav, which is 3, and altogether 9. So the 900 chariots of Sisera represent the full perspective of Torah Shebal Peh, which is half of Torah Shebichsav, but it has a mila in the fact that it's being built on Torah Shebichsav. Again, just like the short person standing on the shoulders of the tall person, right? So if the tall person is 6 feet tall, right, and the short person is 3, then altogether you would say the short person is 9 feet tall. It's not really 9 feet. It means he's because he's on the shoulders of the tall person, and so on. So he says, V'kach hoye hispashtus mesech teklipa chayfif al kedusha. And again, this is like the klipa of Sisra, holding on and covering over the nitzitz of kedusha of Torah Shebal Peh, was asu mizeh rechev barzel, was these iron chariots. Again, barzel is the four imois, Rachel and Bil and Zilpa, lilchetz es Yisrael, to pressure Klal Yisrael, v'lemnoi asagas al chachamidus, and to hold back their inner wisdom. The defeat of Sisra and the paying back. That's why, what does the Gemara end up saying? That the dogim shebeyam, the fish of the sea, said, emes Hashem loyim was fish. Like, that's what it all was about, the fish saying, the Gemara says that Tamid HaChomer compared to fish. Because fish are living in the ocean, they're used to it. But we know that, everyone knows that, the mashal, the Gemara says, that when rain comes, all of a sudden, a new drop. That's Tersh Bal Peh, it's Chiddush. That's what dogim shebeyam represent. Rabbi Kiva compared himself to a fish, right? The famous mashal Rabbi Kiva said, that you can't take a fish out of water, you can't take me out of Torah. And he's willing to die for it, right? So Reb Kiva's compared to that. It's Tarsh Bal Peh. So Dagim Shaviyam, with Sisra's defeat, say Shira, Emes Hashem Le'olam, that the truth of Hashem is Taka forever. The forever means, no matter what the matzav is, and that's the beauty, that's the kayach of Tarsh Bal Peh, when it's rooted in Tarsh B'chsav, that the answer to any situation can be found, and can be solved. Hayotzi Le'olam from all of this is that what? Is that the whole inning of Tarsh Bal Peh is associated with the Nekeva. Esther Malka, right, Esther Malka brings us to the second base of Migdash, which is the opening in the era of Tarsh Bal Peh. Devarah Hanavia is the one that defeats Sisra to unleash the powers of Tarsh Bal Peh. Rabbi Kiva, who himself was a male, certainly, but he says Shaliv Shalachem Shalah. The whole Indian of Tarsh B'chsav versus Tarsh Bal Peh. Tarsh B'chsav is a Zachar Tarsh Bal Peh's Nekeva Malchus Peh Tarsh Bal Krinala. So all of Tarsh Bal Peh is associated with Nekeva. What's the Kasha? The Kasha is, I don't understand. Then Halacha, the Halacha says, and he's just part of Talmud Torah, and the Fra, Tarsh Bal Peh, she's most removed from. So how could it be that Anisha is most removed from Tarsh Bal Peh, and the only Tarsh Bal Peh is Shaykh to Anisha? Okay, Tzarchim. Next week. Shvaya.